Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of the Oxford Charger Podcast. As always, I am your host, Blake Thompson, and I'm glad you're here to listen in with us. We have taken a little bit of a break, had a hiatus over the end of the year, coming through the holidays, but glad you're back at the start of 2022. And on today's episode, we have Miss Audra Rester. Miss Rester has been the middle school principal at Oxford Middle since July of 2015. She came to Oxford the year before, in 2014, when she was the assistant middle school principal. But she is about to retire, and so I was glad to have her with us. I have had two students already come through Oxford Middle School, and one is there currently as well. And so glad for her service, for the ways that she has poured herself into her role as an administrator here in the school district. And I think you'll enjoy what you have to hear from her as well. So here we go. Thanks, Ms. Rest, for being able to be a part. I appreciate you giving up your time.
I appreciate you inviting me. I'm happy to be here.
Well, I know it's in education. Your days are always full, and as I'm sure as soon as that first bell rings at the first of the day, things start stacking up as well. So there's not really a typical day.
There's not.
At Oxford Middle School.
There's not. And that's one of the things that I will say coming out into administration is that you don't own your day anymore. I definitely plan for some things, plan to be in classrooms, plan to do certain things, but you just never know what's going to happen when you walk in, when you're dealing with children. So you have to learn to be flexible. That was one of the things that coming out of the classroom, you have a rhythm in a classroom
right.
that you kind of get to enjoy, and it's in your own little microcosm. And so you get to own your day a little bit more. And so the shift into administration, you have to learn pretty quickly that it's never going to end. And that sometimes you're not the master of your day.
Right.
It's just part of it.
I'm sure as well. Sometimes your day follows you even after that final bell.
100% does. I mean, there's never a time where you're not checking email or following up on a situation that might have happened. Some of them pretty serious.
Right.
And so you're basically doing life with a whole bunch of 700 children. And so it's a lot of fun. It's also very challenging. It's pretty rewarding. I will say that you either love middle school or you do not.
Right.
There's no in between. Even with student teachers who come through and thankful that they have that opportunity to look around and say, no, these are not my people. And they're just more apt to either go to the high school or to elementary. It's just kind of
I'm sure you find some that like this is my wheelhouse.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because there really are some. I mean, I really feel like people are called to their age. I could never do kindergarten. Those are not my people. But give me a sarcastic seventh or eighth grader, and I'll take them any day.
Right.
Any day. It's just you just got to find your comfort with them, and I don't know. It's just they're just a special group, and it really is like a privilege to get to go through this very unique time in their life. They're struggling with a lot of things. Sometimes they're angry. They don't even know why they're angry. And a lot of it has to do with the physical change, the hormones and those kind of things.
Of course.
But it's really neat for them to kind of struggle through to figure out who am I? Who are my friends telling me I ought to be? Who are my parents trying to tell me I ought to be? But who do I really want to be? Mm-hmm. They're also brutally honest. And so I do appreciate that.
Yeah, you don't have to guess.
You don't. And so it's a special age, and you do either respond to it or you don't.
What do you remember as some of the highlights of your own middle school experience growing up?
So for me, for middle school, I went to about three different schools. I started out in Senatobia, Mississippi until fourth grade, kindergarten through fourth grade in Senatobia. And then we moved to Coldwater, Mississippi, like right down the road from Senatobia, very small. And I was there for fifth, sixth, seventh grade. So part of my middle school, that sixth, seventh, was in Coldwater. And truly some of the most amazing individuals, teachers. I still keep up with three close friends from that area, just very challenging, but I remember just enjoying it and the awkwardness of it, right? Mm-hmm. Just being so, but it was different for us. We didn't have social media.
Of course.
And so we got to have a little bit of free range. I grew up free range as a 70s, yeah. 80s kid. You know, you were
come home before the street lights.
That's right. That's exactly right. So we really had some freedoms to figure out some things at an earlier age. There was a lot more independence, I guess, in a way. My eighth grade year, we moved to New Hope High School in Columbus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was an amazing, I mean, that was a big jump. The school was bigger, mm-hmm. But certainly some of the most amazing adults that really helped me figure out who I was and who I wanted to be. Now, there were some hard ones too. I still remember Ms. Stratton. She taught me shorthand. I mean, that was back in the day when we learned shorthand. So strict, so nitpicky. But I really appreciated that about her. She had a way about pulling out, getting the best out of kids. And even some of my best in physics, Coach Jackson was my physics teacher. And man, he was hard, but he was fair. I mean, he pushed you to your limit. And I appreciated that.
Did you know in high school that you wanted to go into education, or is that something that kind of blossomed later through college?
Well, I really did. My father was a high school principal. And so when we moved to Coldwater was when he became a high school principal. He wasn't my principal because I was, of course, at the elementary school. Mm. So when we moved to New Hope, he was my principal there. And so I did get to see some things, but I never wanted to go into administration. I just knew that for me, education, it made such a difference, such an impact. I got to watch some, like I said, some amazing adults really help make a difference, not just in my life, but in some of my friends. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, this is how I want to make a difference. But I didn't major in it when I went to Ole Miss. I majored in English and psychology was my minor, because my dad, again, as a high school principal, I knew I didn't want the little kids. Like I said, kindergarten, first, second, that's not my age. I knew that. I mean, I didn't teach, obviously, but even babysitting wasn't my favorite thing to do. And so I was like, okay, I get it. Those are not my age group. But he said, if I wanted to teach, that I needed to have a thorough understanding of the subject, you know, so major in what you want to teach, and then you're going to figure out the rest. And I can remember him even saying, like being a first-year teacher, it's like being a first-time parent. You're going to get a lot of things wrong. You're right. Going to have a lot of sleepless nights. You're going to cry a lot.
Sure.
You're going to feel like a failure. But at the end of the day, you're also going to learn. You're going to give yourself a lot of grace, and you're going to figure it out.
And no one can fully explain to you what it's like until it's like being married.
That's exactly right.
A parent. Like you said, you can get all the advice in the world, but until you're in the classroom and you've got, you know, however many 18, 28 people staring at you.
That's exactly right. And then you really figure out, who you're, Mr. Johnny or, whatever you're like, I'm Rester. I figured out who my Miss Rester was that first couple of years, figuring that out. It's hard. It's just hard.
Do you miss the classroom? I know you've been in administration now for 05, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Do you miss the classroom itself?
I miss those everyday interactions with kiddos, having a deep dive into their stories, mm-hmm. getting to really watch them struggle through and then come out on the other side. That is what's so rewarding, is that when you watch a kid take a concept and actually take a deep dive into it and then make it their own.
Yeah.
That it's just this beautiful process of an awakening, I guess, for lack of a better term. And so it's just to know that you had a small part in that.
Yeah.
I do miss that part of it. And sometimes children are much easier to handle than sometimes adults. They're not quite as jaded. They're a little more trusting, in a way. And so they're also will give you a little bit more grace if you don't get something completely right. You're like, I did learn early on. Okay, kids, I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to figure that out, so just to let your ego go and just enjoy the classroom. So I do miss that part of it. Although I have enjoyed being in administration and being able to interact with the adults that really make a difference with the kids,
yeah.
and try to push them and bolster them up and make them help them know how unique and special they are has also been pretty rewarding too, because I get to work with some amazing people.
Yeah, I was going to ask, you were just saying what the most rewarding part of being in the classroom is. And I was going to ask what it is as a principal or as an administrator. Is that it? Mm-hmm. Seeing those same lights that you saw come on Absolutely. As a fourth grader or an eighth grader.
Right.
Now you're seeing it come on as a, you know, 20, 30 something year old teacher mm-hmm. that she or he is realizing, hey, this is.
Yeah. And when you get to sit down and make plans, so we look at some data and we'll say, okay, this is where a kid is. And for us, anytime we look at data, it has nothing to do with, you know, the teacher or their accountability or any of that. It's data for growth, right? Mm-hmm. Where is the kiddo right now, and where do we want them to be, and how are we going to get there? We laugh and we'll say, we hope we get them. And my comment is, well, hope is not a strategy. So what are we going to yeah. do? How are we going to make this kid? How we're going to help this kid make the best decision and grow the most. And what does that truly look like? Mm-hmm. And what we've discovered is that it's not about a program. It's really about the adult in the room, the professional, and giving the kiddo time to be with that adult to be able to really make an impact for them as far as their trajectory.
Yeah, I know in talking to Mr. Hamilton at the high school, you know, they're looking to prepare this 12th grader once they're through for the real world, whether right. that's step in the job market, going to trade school, going to a 4-year school
right.
or
right.
whatever it is that's their best placement there. But what is a strategy for a middle school where they're not likely to hit the real world immediately, but you're preparing them to be able to go to Mr. Hamilton and all of his crew there at the high school?
Well, our goal at the middle school is just exposure. Our kids don't necessarily know all the opportunities and the things that are available to them. And so we try to make sure that we're showing them like exploring pathways as an eighth grader, mm-hmm. where literally they walk them through all these different kinds of jobs that are out there right now. But the beauty of the world that we're living in right now is that our kids can create their own jobs.
True.
They can... you know, again, for us, it's we want to be with you as you figure out who you are as a person and what you value and what your passions are. You know, what do you feel just really good about doing and feel like you can do it well? And then look around the world and figure out, well, what does the world need with mm-hmm. my passions and my gifts and my talents and the things that I'm willing to work hard for? And then how can I make money doing it? Right? Because yeah. that's part of it. And we've got kiddos who have YouTube channels here. They yeah. are making bank doing things, showing kids how to play games.
Right, in the early teens.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, our kids, again, have opportunities that growing up in the 70s and 80s would never have even fathomed were
sure.
available. And that's for good and for bad, right? You know, yeah. the TikTok channels and all those influencers and those mm-hmm. things. There's a dark side to that, too. And so trying to protect our kids and help them make good decisions when it comes to being a digital citizen is a challenge, too. And that's one of the things that we have to be honest about with our kids and monitor and try to help them not make lifetime consequences that are damaging.
That makes sense
for them.
So you bring up social media and both the benefits and the challenges and sometimes the pitfalls that folks can stumble into. Obviously, when you started your career as a teacher, I mean, there was no internet.
There was none.
And so, I mean, do you remember your first email address?
I had one through, I was a student at the time. And so I had one through Duke with, Eddie was the student. And so we would use his, but nobody yeah. used it. I mean, no. it was...
Have you seen that Today Show clip where he's got Bryant Gumbel and Jane Pauley and they're trying to discuss an email address and they don't know what to call that sign and they don't know how to read
Oh,
that.
That's hilarious.
I'll find it, send it to
I
you.
I have not, but that's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah. And so now it's just common nature, you know? And so now, you know, our kids are going to be talking about crypto and NFTs.
That's exactly
and,
right.
You know, like you say, all the ways. And so, you know, what have you seen technology's impact be even on just specifically education in the classroom, in the school buildings, as you progress through your career and how it's been able to benefit your teachers?
Well, And even here, we have always said that technology is a resource, it's a tool, right? It's a very robust tool, but it's not the only tool.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need to put that tool down and use something that's going to be more beneficial for kiddos. It is this robust tool and can be used for so many educational purposes, but it's also very distracting for our kids. I call it, the FOMO, the fear of missing out. Sure. So they want to watch the social media. The YouTube can be a huge distraction because, again, there's a lot of entertainment that's there. And sometimes our kiddos have to figure out, okay, I got to rein that in. That cannot be my sole existence. I'm going to have to do some things that are hard that I don't necessarily want to do. And so that the technology is such a temptation for them, and that sometimes it's just better just to tech off and let's get our books out. Let's look at some paper. Let's get a piece of paper and do pen to paper and just write. It's all about balance and figuring out what's going to work for the student and for the classroom, because learning is hard. Learning is, you have to struggle. And a lot of times our kids don't like to struggle. No. They don't like that dissonance that you feel.
Sometimes our adults don't like to.
Oh, there's a lot. That's right. That's right. And so the technology is a curse and a blessing. But we do try to make sure that teachers understand it is simply a tool. And sometimes it's not the best tool for what you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. It's okay to put it down and get the books out.
Right. Now, I know when you first came to Oxford, you were the assistant principal here at the middle school. Mm-hmm. Your oldest daughter was in eighth grade at that time as well. Mm-hmm. And then your youngest came through a couple of years later.
That's right.
Was there an extra challenge to being a principal at a school where your kids were as well? Or is that a blessing, or is it?
Probably for them. They probably didn't enjoy it as much.
Gotcha.
But the other side of that is, Eddie and I have made a conscious effort to make our kids be responsible for their learning. Luckily, Eddie and I are both big readers. We love to read. Mm-hmm. And our kids grew up watching us read. They love to read. They're very curious kids. And so as far as their education, I've always made them be responsible for what they needed to do. If they had a question, then for me, it was like, okay, one day you're going to have an employer and you're going to have to go and you're going to have to ask them. You're going to have to deal with situations. And so this is your practice. Your teacher right now is your employer.
Yeah.
Go handle it. And so, Eddie and I have always said we're raising adults. We don't want to take care of them. And so we did some things probably differently than some of our other friends, but I read a great book. Matter of fact, when we first got here, it was called How to Raise an Adult. It's by a lady who used to be a counselor at Stanford. Julie, what was her name? The book's title is How to Raise an Adult. It was very affirming reading that book of some of the things that we had done with our kiddos. And that just kind of bled right into who they got to be while they were on campus with me. Mm-hmm. The other benefit was I never believed anything that my middle schooler said.
Because you knew.
Because I knew.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that they were bad kids or that they were bad parenting. It's just part of the process. It's who they are as they matriculate through school. And so I never took a whole lot of stock in some of the things that they would say. So I knew the benefit of knowing the teachers and like, that's their mind did not perceive that correctly. Their middle school mind completely warped that. And I just let them talk and then be like, okay, well, if that's a real issue, then you know what you've got to do.
Sure. One of the interesting things about school now as a parent of here in the Oxford School District is Power School. Mm-hmm. Admittedly, my oldest daughter, I'd asked what her grades were. She told me, and that was good. But when I got hooked up to Power School, I get like real time updates on a lot of things.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, I am so glad my parents did not have Power School.
I know, me too.
They found out at the middle of the 6 weeks and at the end, something was completely off the rails.
That's exactly right.
There are times, I'm like, I'm not going to ask them as soon as they get home.
Yeah. Well, and that was some freedom in that for me. I remember I loved school. I loved going to school. I liked learning. Like I said, My brother was a big reader. I liked to read. School was not necessarily hard for me because I did enjoy the challenge, but I didn't get a lot of it right out of the gate. I always appreciated the fact that when I really did not do well, you know, that there was no power school.
Yeah.
The other downside of that was that if I did really poorly in a class, my dad, as my principal, did find out. Really every time we chose to do things that we should not have done in high school, and I deserved every, that was back when we paddled, I deserved every paddling I got, everyone. But I am glad that some of my mistakes weren't necessarily highlighted on a daily basis.
Right.
It's kind of like anything else. It's a good and a bad thing,
sure.
Right? You know, so.
So what do you think is the best compliment a teacher or a principal can get from the community or from a parent?
That you made a difference, that you changed the trajectory of a kid, that you are able to show them and expose them to something that they did not know and that they grew as a person, right? A lot of times I don't think we give each other enough time and grace to grow. I mean, there's a lot of growing pains in the middle school, both really physically as well as emotionally.
Sure.
and mentally. And to have that freedom of I'm not going to judge you where you are. You just can't stay there. I need for you to grow. And to have that kind of growth mindset and for a kid to come out on the other side to say, you know what? It was worth the effort. It was worth doing my best. One of the things that we literally say it every day, is that at Oxford Middle School, we respect ourselves and others. We do what is right, and we're the best that we can be. We tell them that we're glad and that we're glad that they're here. And so for them to say, I've learned how to respect somebody else and disagree with them, but still in a respectful way, to have that kind of discourse. And I learned it at an early age, or I learned it at middle school, mm-hmm. would be, again, one of the greatest compliments. There's some adults now that if just because I don't necessarily agree with the way that you believe, there's this idea that we can be mean to one another. And that if you don't think the way I think, then you must be a bad person. And it's just, there's too many good things about being diverse.
Sure.
That we ought to celebrate that. And I just like the idea of planting a seed that you're not always right, which is hard for a middle schooler, because the middle schooler does believe that they are always right. But for them to be able to maybe see another side, mm-hmm. of something and be able to respect it, even if they don't necessarily agree with it.
No, I know that's not always measurable.
It's not.
Those life changes.
It's not.
And I know that sometimes the district looks at what can we measure,
right.
as well.
Right.
And so how would you say, once my time at Oxford Middle School is complete, that I've been successful? And it may be just, I know because I've seen the life change.
Right.
It may be because I've seen the differences that I've been able to see teachers grow in their own career / influence because,
yeah.
of that.
Well, pouring into the teachers is really what I get to do. And that's really what my main goal is, and how I hope I have left the middle school, because the whole point of even being a principal is that it should be that I disappear and nothing changes in the building, that
right.
all the processes and the procedures still go through and everybody's still doing what they need to do and kids are still learning and growing. But the fact that a teacher now, I mean, you have to continue to grow yourself. And that's one of the things that we tell our kids. It's not just you. The expectation is not just for the students to grow. The adults on campus are growing too. And whether that's improving their craft of teaching, mm-hmm. or their understanding of their own core knowledge of the subject that they are teaching, doesn't matter what it is, everybody is expected to grow. And I hope that when I leave, that is the same mentality, that you don't stop pushing yourself. You don't stop learning. Because really, once you think you've learned everything that there is to learn, it's probably time for you not to be a teacher any right. longer, or be in this profession, because there is always something else, always new research, always mm-hmm. something about what's happening in a kiddo's life that you need to be learning and to adjust to. And so I hope that when I leave, that's the same kind of mentality that continues on.
So what are the key things you have used for personal improvement, professional improvement, and growth there. So you're not stagnated in your own trajectory of your career.
We read a lot at the middle school. If you're not a reader, then this middle school is probably not a place for you to be as a teacher. We read articles all the time. We have very robust conversations. It's one of the reasons why we changed the master schedule 8 years ago to give core teachers an opportunity to get together every single day to plan lessons, to because the goal, right, is that it doesn't matter whose English teacher your child has. It's the same level. And again, teachers have autonomy to teach it the certain whatever way they want to, but it's the same level of expectation. And at the end of the unit or the lesson or whatever it is, we're all going to take the same assessment. And if you have done better, if your kiddos have outperformed what my kiddos did, then I've got to come ask you, hey, what did you do different? Because I've missed out somehow. My kiddos didn't have the level of understanding that yours did. What did you do? And that's a collaborative piece. I really feel like I learned early in my education. I was so lucky. My first year, I got to teach at Water Valley High School, which was quite the experience. But then that December, Eddie and I are married, and we moved to North Carolina. So I taught for 2 years at Lowe's Grove Middle School in North Carolina, in Durham. Yeah. And loved every bit of that. That was a team school. I had a phone in my room. And so I learned an awful lot from being with those teachers. And they were all veteran teachers. They'd all been around for, 10, 15 years of teaching. And so I really got to learn from some of the best, not only just adults, but some of the best teachers. And they really helped instill that we're all in this together. And so that's one of the reasons why Better Together is my hashtag, is that we have to do this work. No one can do this work alone. We're not designed for that, and that we need each other. We have to have each other. I need your experiences so that you help me be a better teacher. You help me understand kids better. And so that whole idea of being better together has just been part of my leadership at the school, is that I just believe that we cannot do this. We're not designed to do this alone.
So what piece of advice would you give a brand new teacher? They're in their first year.
Honestly,
they're deer in the headlights. Maybe like I said, they've been given advice. They've even been through the classrooms, but at the college.
Yeah. And they're really fighting an uphill battle. Just like veteran teachers, there's a lot of distraction for kids, a lot of distraction for their attention. Social media, we've already mentioned, YouTube, being social in general. Mm-hmm. And so, I would definitely tell them that they have got to give themselves a lot of grace. I've already said that it's like being a first year parent, that you're going to cry your first year or first couple of years. It's excruciating to figure out, how do I make a difference in these kids, and to get your own rhythm in your classroom. For me, it was about routines. Again, at the middle school level, kids thrive on structure. They'll complain about it all day long, but they understand and they know what to expect. And there's a level of comfort in that, and level of comfort in those routines, and to be consistent with those routines. And that even though you don't necessarily get to see the fruits of your labor, just know that every single day matters, and to give yourself a lot of grace, to be patient really with yourself and the kids. I wish I had thought earlier, the whole social emotional learning didn't really happen until probably about 10 years ago. And I wish that I had seen the behavior of my students as communication. What were they trying to tell me so that I could have responded in a different way? That is one of the things that I would like to have spent more time in a veterans teacher's room, watching them hone their craft and steal from them. And I wish that I had thought of, your behavior is just a form of communication to me. And I should be more in tune with that so that I can help you learn better.
Yeah. My wife has been reading a book, and she was, I can't remember the title of it, but she was saying that's the why behind the why. Mm-hmm. Like, why is my kid as a parent, or why is my student why is he acting this way? And then why is that an issue?
Right.
You know, the why behind the why is really the underlying thing. And
it's the same idea.
Yeah,
that's right. Because it really helps you, A, not take anything personal. I mean, the kiddos, while it feels like they do, middle schooler will know exactly how to push your buttons. It's like a talent that they're just born with, right? But to not take any of that personally and to know that you just got to try to figure out, okay, what is it? What really is going on? And a lot of times it has nothing to do with what's happening in the classroom.
Right.
It has to do with the experience that they've had at home or they're struggling with. Mm-hmm. And I do tell my teachers that we are, we want to build relationships. We want to do all that we can for kiddos, but our first priority is 7:45 to 3:45. We control this day. Mm-hmm. How are we going to expose kids to the level of learning that they need? And how am I going to give you the resources to do it?
So 2 years ago, this time, there was rumors of disruption in social and everything going on around because of potential sickness coming over. And then 2 years and a month ago, you know, everybody went home for spring break. Then we're going to have 2 weeks of just to kind of get our ducks in a row, and nobody went back.
Right.
What were some of the challenges and the ways that you and your team overcame those challenges leading through that, I guess, that spring semester of 2020? And then obviously since then, we're in our third semester now, since then, and there are still challenges even now, but hopefully we're peaking and everything's, but
knock on wood, we're going to throw some salt over our shoulder. That's right.
What were some of the challenges that you had specifically here at Oxford Middle School, and how did you and your team address those?
One of the blessings of being in Oxford is that every one of our kids had a piece of technology, and they were able to go home with that technology. The problem was not all of them had access to Wi-Fi.
Right.
And so the first thing that we did out of the gate was we printed every single kid's name, and we had teachers pick kids so that we made sure every single kid was covered to make sure we knew every couple of weeks who was checking in with that kid. One of the things with a middle schooler is that they thrive on being together. They're very social animals, and they need us. We need them. So for them to be isolated like that, first they were all like, yay, it's like a party time.
Right.
But then some of them were very lonely. Some of them were very isolated. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of fear. We didn't understand what was going on. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of misinformation, as happens through social media. And so it was very, very, very hard for our middle school kids, particularly if they didn't already have some boundaries set up where they don't have a whole lot of, not control necessarily, but they don't have a very good executive function, I guess I should say, that they're not as organized as they should be. And so our teachers, when they're with us, 51 minutes was designated to English, 51 is for math. And so we were able to control that for them.
Like you mentioned earlier, that we all thrive in structure.
Right. And so now there's none. But my Xbox and my game is sitting right here. And so I don't want to engage with the learning. It's too much of a temptation. I don't necessarily have the drive to go on Zoom and talk to my teacher and do the work that I needed to do. And so there's this dip of learning that occurred.
Yeah.
And so we're still trying to dig out of that. There's a lot of lost time, and some of it wasn't necessarily, again, the kids were dealing with things they didn't understand. Their parents were dealing with things they didn't understand. And it was more like survival at that time. And we did a really good job. There were some things that we could have done, I think, differently. But I'm so proud of the way that our teachers reached out and checked in with our kids, that we had a system to do that. And when we found something wasn't exactly right, we were able to do some things, but again, some of our kids just needed us to show up at their doors, right? And you couldn't do that. So it was just a hard time for everybody. And for our teachers who are helpers, for them not to be able to reach out and touch and say, look, it's going to be okay. That was hard. It was hard for them. Some of them are still feeling some guilt and some things that, again, things that were beyond our control that it was just a hard time.
Yeah, things were definitely less than ideal.
Less than ideal. It's a good way. And so coming back that next year, I was so thankful that we were able to give kids choice. And yes, we had to, really, we would have done anything we needed to do to get back in the building to get our kids back in.
Right.
It didn't matter. I mean, we would have walked around with our hand behind our back. We would have hopped on one leg, you know, whatever it needed to take to get the kiddos back in the building. We were willing to do. And those kiddos that didn't come back, their parents, you know, had situations at home.
Sure.
We again had that system set up that at least we were checking on them as much as possible and trying to keep up with them. But that was really hard to do the dance between two, the kids who were sitting in front of us, who needed our attention, the kids at home. That was so hard on our teachers. More so than probably anybody ever realized.
Right. Well, I think thanks for their dedication. I know it's
no doubt.
And even this school year, I know it's been some challenges and still some quarantining and
absolutely
still happening. And the teachers having to try to do dual instruction there.
Yeah. But the quarantine students and again, luckily some of that time away from school was lessened. And, you know, we got hit pretty hard right out of the gate, but then
I had one.
Yeah. I don't know a single parent that probably didn't have one. And so got hit pretty hard. But it's, again, like you said, it's kind of ebbed out a little bit. And it's back to business, back to growing kids.
So when you're not at school and you're able to take off your education cap as much as possible, what is it that you like to do to relax or recharge on your own?
I do. I still am a reader, although I will say that the older I get, the more I start a book and I end up falling asleep pretty quickly as I settle down and start reading. But I love to read. And that's one of the things that even if it's just, you know, something that's brain dead, I mean, Harry Potter and those kind of things. I love that, that escape into a different world, whatever. And traveling, my family, one of the things that we've always enjoyed to do as a family is travel. We're lucky enough to take the girls to places that makes them, you know, just a little more. When you see a different part of the world, you grow a little bit more.
Right.
And so being able to give them those opportunities has truly been a blessing for us. And to see some of it through their eyes, I have thoroughly enjoyed. And it's just I don't know, it's very inspirational to be able to do that and watch your own kids grow into adults. It's worth it. All the pain, all the hard conversations and the, you know, being a parent is not for the weak.
Right. we've talked about the challenges of teaching as technology and society or whatever has grown, but I'm sure parenting is challenging regardless, but I think there are challenges now that our parents didn't.
Oh, and they wouldn't have, right? I mean, again, I go back to, we were free range children. We really got to do some things.
You hopped on that bike and...
You did. I mean, that was one of my favorite memories of riding my bike around Senatobia and all over Northwest Community College campus. And
now so many parents are tracking their kids on their cell phone and they know.
They do.
You know, they're on the square. They're in this particular store. Or at least their phone is.
That's right. That's exactly right.
From your reading, do you have something you've read recently that you think this is something that you'd recommend?
Right now, we just had a women's conference. Rebecca Stevens, who is the owner our founder of Thistle Farms out of Nashville. She came and had, we did a whole weekend with her and she has a book out. It's called Practically Divine. I just started it and it is, it's beautifully written. She's this amazing storyteller and she really speaks to being with each other, right? Ram Dass says, we're all just walking each other home. That's, The feel, like I said, I'm only halfway through this book, but it's very inspirational to read the book and to watch it through her lens. One of the things that she said at the conference is that she wished she had dreamed bigger sooner. And that really was like, oh my gosh, that is so challenging, but beautiful too. And so, I'm retiring in June. Mm-hmm. So one of those, you know, that really kind of stuck with me. It's like, okay, what is next? Initially, right out of the gate, I really like to get back to my first love of teaching. Okay. But I want to give it a go at the higher ed.
Sure.
I've gotten my PhD recently, and I think I want to try that. But her comment has kind of just resonated with me about dreaming big and So I'm going to finish this book and kind of see where it leads, and keep doing a lot of praying and I don't know, listening to nudges along the way and figure out what really is next. Again, she kind of has this book has the flavor of Daring Greatly by Brené Brown, mm-hmm. which is one of my absolute favorites. Love her. So it's been very impactful.
Now, if you were to write a book, what would the title be? Or what would the subject matter be?
Gosh, I don't believe you're middle schooler. I don't know. there are so many things that, I don't even know what we would do. I think Eddie and I could write a parenting and a marriage book. That would be absolutely hilarious.
Sure.
Just some of the things that you do and say, and it's just really funny and hard work being a parent. And so we have learned a lot. Some things I think we would do differently. And so if I wrote a book, I guess it might be maybe parenting. I don't know if it would just be middle schoolers or just all the way through.
But. You brought up Eddie. Everybody wants to know, what's it like being married to a celebrity from Dancing Lord. Like the Stars?
Celebrity in his own mind, right?
Right.
My goal is to keep Eddie humble, which I enjoy doing on a daily basis. It really is. It really is. One of the things I've always loved about Eddie is that he has no ego. He is willing to make fun of himself. He is willing to do whatever it takes just because he, that's kind of who he is. But it's he's just a mess. And I do enjoy putting him in his place.
I'm sure as a principal of the middle school, sometimes you're looking to hire and recruit teachers and all. Mm-hmm. If someone came, or even someone from out of town that's a friend that's never been to Oxford, they're coming for the weekend, what are some of the highlights of Oxford that you'd want to make sure they were able to see and experience, whether it's places to visit, events, or even special restaurants that you think?
Oh my gosh, the restaurants. We have just a plethora of amazing places to eat. That's one of the things I love about Oxford. I'm a foodie. I enjoy food.
Yeah.
And so being able to some of the finest places, I mean, even just Ajax, right? I mean, even the Ravine is probably one of my favorite places to eat. But my girls work at the Creamery, Oxford Creamery.
Yeah.
And it's one of my favorite places to go. I mean, where else but in Oxford are you going to have gourmet, this kind of ice cream? It's fabulous. But, one of the things that I love about Oxford is that we have these, of course, besides Faulkner and those kind of things, we have this group of a community of learners, mm-hmm. right? Of writers, of people who are always wanting to stretch themselves, and to be able to go through square books. I mean, just to live this close, to be able to go through and look at all that is in there. It's just very, I don't know, enlightening. Mm-hmm. And there are just a lot of smart people in Oxford.
Yeah.
And so there's never a time when you don't have someone who's going to not necessarily just think like you, but to push you, but to still want to be in community with you, right? So I appreciate that about the Oxford community. There's also a willingness to help. There's never been a time that I haven't picked up the phone and called a parent and said, hey, one of our kiddos needs such and such. And it'd be here within sometimes hours. So the idea that, again, we're all in this together, it's definitely a special place. I mean, it's not without its issues, right?
Sure. No place is
perfect. It's not Mayberry. But there are a lot of just good people here who want to make a difference. I want to pour into our kids. And, I read a long time ago that our kiddos need 5 to 7 other adults other than their parents to be involved in their life. And that is so true, that, because your kids are not going to talk to you about certain things, mm-hmm. but they will to, an uncle or a mentor or whoever it is. We just need those partnerships. We need that. And for Oxford, there are a lot of people who are willing to give up their time for kids.
Right. That's a great resource. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that you and Eddie and your girls enjoy movies and TV shows and whatnot.
Yeah.
if you could relive your senior year of high school in a TV show set at a high school.
Oh my goodness.
What TV show do you think Audra would love to be a part of as a high school senior?
High school senior. So I graduated in 1990. So I truly got to live my high school career in the 80s, which people are so jealous of us. The 80s really were the best time.
I mean, I think so. My daughter is a high school junior, and she wishes she was living in the 80s right now.
As most people do. It was just a great time to be like, our music, we still have some of the best music. Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful for the 80s channel on my exam.
Right.
Holy cow. But gosh, for, I mean, we just really had a good time. But we were also really kind of just, I don't know, almost want to say like Gilligan's Island or something, where you're just, you know, you're kind of in your own little world, but you had a lot of people that we did everything as a big group. I mean, that's just what we did. Mm-hmm. So it's probably some kind of weird version of Gilligan's Island, where again, I just had a group of friends and we really had a good time. And again, I'm so thankful there was no social media at all back then.
I was trying to think of a TV show set even in the 80s then. Of course, you got Square Pegs.
Oh, yeah. Or
Freaks
Miami
and Geeks.
Vice. And so you're trying to think, what else did we watch in
the
80s?
I was meaning like high school shows, even specifically.
Gosh, high school shows. I forgot about Square Pegs. I hadn't thought about that in forever. And I didn't watch television a whole lot growing up.
Because you're always outside.
I really was. I mean, I loved being outside. Yeah. And if I had to come in, you know, that back in the day, my dad would commandeer the television. So I've watched every John Wayne movie there is.
Well, and back then we only had limited channels anyway.
Yeah. And so what were you going to watch?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned music. I want to ask this. I was thinking when I was in, because if Back to the Future happened right now, mm-hmm. the movie came out.
Yeah.
Marty McFly would go back to 1992.
Yeah. Man, with Huey Lewis in the News. Man.
That's what you're saying. But if it occurred right now, he's only going back to the 92 because he went from 85 to 55. Right. But, and I had no care about 1950s music when I watched it. But my kids now know, it's like they have a much broader experience of music. And, you know, so the 80s,
thanks to Apple Music.
The 70s. Yeah. The 90s. Well, and so many TV shows, so many movies now.
Yeah.
You know, if you watch Sing or Sing 2, I have my 10-year-old that knows Elton John, that knows, you know, all these music from the 70s.
That's exactly right.
And, you know, he can sing the Pina Colada song front to back, you know.
Which you got to be a little proud of, right?
Yeah.
You're like, that's my kid.
Yeah. So, and Guardians of the Galaxy helped a good bit for him, too.
But oh, yeah.
I think that just entertainment in general, there's a broader spectrum of what
is
still cool.
I agree.
Because when I was growing up, I didn't give a rip about 40s and 50s music.
No.
I couldn't have told you what anything was.
No, but when would you have been exposed to it?
That's
true.
You
know, you had no exposure. We didn't have all these radio. I mean, we listened to the FM station, right? I can remember in the summertime, the FM radio station telling us when to flip. A gong would go off and say, okay, flip, you know,
right,
and everybody's
right.
out laying out. But you were basically whatever they played, that's what you listened to.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but our kiddos, I mean, they get to listen and play and create whatever music
right.
they want to now. It's amazing to watch what our kids can do, which is a benefit of the technology.
Of course.
I mean, both of my girls play the piano, but, and Claire really enjoys, she's learned the guitar, but she taught herself by watching like YouTube videos. And she, mm-hmm. of course, knew music anyway, but she can pull up anything on her phone and sit down and figure it out on the piano. But it's that exposure, right? That they literally have all of the music, all of the videos, all of it at their fingertips. And so it's kind of neat to watch them and even watch them use GarageBand and figure out how to make music.
Yeah.
We have a lot of our kiddos who like to rap, right? Uh-huh. And so that's exactly what they're doing. They're figuring it out.
Right. Well, thanks again for your time. Enjoyed the conversation with you. And just again, for all that you've given of yourself to the Oxford School District and the kids, I've had two come through the middle school. I've got one in here right now. And I know they've all three benefited from your leadership here. So thanks.
Well, it's good to do this work together. And it's a privilege to work with our kiddos.
Thanks
for asking.
Definitely.
All right.
So thank you to Ms. Rester for being a part of the podcast here as we kick off the 2022 season. We have a handful of ideas coming up here for this semester. Looking forward to some more good interviews. But if you have any suggestions, just please let us know. As always, you can find us on social media at Charger Podcast, or you can email me, blake@chargerpodcast.com. And as always, if you did enjoy what you've heard, I just encourage you to share that with somebody you work with, somebody you run with, somebody your kids are on a team with, whatever it may be, that they too can listen in on whatever their podcast app is and join with us. So any suggestions, let me know. Until next time, peace.